You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Happy Halloween, he said in his most sepulchral tones. Great holiday. You can be anything you want to be. All right, most anything.
The music of the stars.
Yeehaw!
The music of the stars. The music of
I hope that as you listen to this, you are among your loved ones. For I believe that murder, like charity, begins at home. After all, some of the most exquisite murders have been domestic, performed with tenderness and originality, and in simple, homey places like the kitchen table or the bathtub. So, gentlemen, if you're with your wife, show her how you feel about her. Put your arms around her neck and listen to this musical admonition. I'll walk alone.
Good evening. I'm Ed Burrow, and the name of this show is Poison to Poison. Tonight, we're visiting the home of a very famous motion picture and television director. Are you there, Alfred?
Good evening, Ed. And welcome to my humble little sanctuary.
Alfred, you have a very fascinating home.
Thank you, Ed.
And exquisitely furnished, may I add. For instance, that armchair you're sitting in is very striking.
And very expensive, too.
Why is it so expensive?
It's made out of real arms.
What is that music I hear? Hi-fi from your phonograph?
No, Ed. That's FM from mortuary.
Alfred, what's in all those drawers along the wall?
Well, this one here, marked F, is full of feet.
From here, it looks like it's full of hands.
Excuse me, Ed. I'm so untidy.
Where does that door lead to, Alfred?
To my chambers.
Your private chambers?
No, my guest chambers. Oh, I'm sorry, Selma.
What happened, Alfred?
I stepped on my cat's tail.
That's strange. I didn't see any cat.
There isn't any. Just a tail.
Why, I see.
And this is my library, Ed.
Very charming, Alfred. What's in that bottle on the top shelf?
Old Granddad, on my father's side.
Beg pardon, sir.
Graves, please don't interrupt me. I'm on television.
Live, sir?
Perish the thought. Ed, before we go out into the yard, do you mind if I light up a cigarette?
Not at all. I'll do the same. Incidentally, what kind of cigarette are you smoking, Alfred?
My favorite brand, Old Gould's.
Very funny, Alfred.
When the weatherman says it's raining, you'll never hear me complaining. I'm certain the sun will shine. I don't care how the weather vane points. When the weather vane points to gloomy, it's gotta be sunny to me. When your eyes look into mine. Jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those peepers? Jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those? Get so lit up, gosh, oh, get up. How'd they get that size? Golly gee, when you turn those heaters on, woe is me. I gotta put my cheaters on. Jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those? Oh, those.
Did you ever break a mirror and spend the rest of the day in dread, wondering what awful fate would befall you? It is bad luck to break a mirror, you know, because the gods in the mirror are protecting you from harm, and when you break your particular mirror, you're darkening the vision of your protectors, and anything is liable to happen. Take the strange tale of Celeste Collins. She was a pretty Irish girl of 21 on this day of her birthday, and the girls in the office were giving her a luncheon party. She was dressing in her bedroom, arranging her hair in a stunning coiffure and admiring herself in her hand mirror. Her hair was her crowning glory, the envy of the girls at the office. And so she preened herself in the mirror, turning first this way and that, completely satisfied with the effect. But she set the mirror down carelessly, and it slipped off the dresser, falling to the floor with a shattering sound of broken glass. Celeste wrinkled her pretty nose and shrugged her shoulders. Just another mirror. At any rate, it was time to go to work. She hurried from the house to catch the subway. While she was fumbling in her purse for a token, it spilled open and all the contents spread out under the turnstile. Reaching under the stile to put her bag together only caused a long run in each of her silk stockings. Then she was an hour late for work because the train stalled in the tunnel and dried up transportation. And at the office, she overturned a bottle of ink on the whole pile of contracts she had typed so carefully the day before. Well, by noon, Celeste decided it was just one of those days when you should have stayed in bed. Although Celeste Collins was Irish, and the Irish are fey, steeped in the traditions of leprechauns and strange happenings, she was practical and sensible as well as pretty. The broken mirror was just a coincidence, and just a silly superstition anyway. And the birthday party that followed erased any doubt she may have had in her mind. The girls wined her and dined her in the little restaurant around the corner. They'd even gotten her a birthday cake. And even though the morning had been awful, the rest of the day flew by with Celeste as happy as a bird. And so, at 5 o'clock, she went home. Her birthday had been a great success. It was only an hour later, while she was sewing a dress in the living room, that the doorbell rang. Expectantly, Celeste sprang to answer. It was a delivery man with a large, upright package that towered as high as the door. Celeste signed for it as the man moved the package to the center of the room and propped it up against the table. After he'd left, she eyed the heavy cords that bound the package and suddenly realized that the girls had taken this method of surprising her with a birthday present. Delightedly, she took her sewing shears and cut the cords. The wrapping paper fell away with a hissing noise, and miraculously, there were two Celeste Collins in the room. The one standing away from the table, the other smiling back from the reflected depths of the full-length mirror propped against the table. But Celeste Collins started to scream. The face in the mirror was a twisted, satanic thing, an outrageous caricature of the lovely face before it. Celeste stepped back, overwhelmed with fright. She kept backing up, but the awful thing in the mirror receded with her, and then her legs were halted by the sill of the window behind her. Whirling, Celeste saw her face again in the crystal-clear panes of glass in the window, the same hideous ghast. With a terrible shriek, she hurled herself at the window and fell through. 6 stories to the cement courtyard below. So you see, my friend, the birthday present was a gift from hell. Of course, Celeste saw only herself in the mirror. But look for yourself. Look into the mirror. Oh, there, you've dropped it. Broken it into a million fragments. How dreadful. I'm afraid you're in for some bad luck.
Thank you.
portions of the proceeding were recorded. As for the rest of it, I'm very much afraid it was all in your mind. I don't intend to indulge in any post-mortem. If you haven't been murdered, I can only say better luck next time. If you have been, good night, wherever you are.
Once I laughed when I heard you say that I'd be playing solitaire, uneasy in my easy chair. It never entered my mind. Once you told me I was mistaken, that I'd awaken with the sun and order orange juice for one. It never entered my mind. You have what I lack myself. Now I even have to scratch my back myself. Once you warned me that if you scorned me, I'd say a lonely prayer again and wish that you were there again to get into my hair again. It never entered my thank you.
Listen to me, said the demon, as he placed his hand upon my head. The region of which I speak is a dreary region in Libya, by the borders of the river Zaire, and there is no quiet there, nor silence. The waters of the river have a saffron and sickly hue, and they flow not onward to the sea, but palpitate forever and forever beneath the red eye of the sun with a tumultuous and convulsive motion. For many miles on either side of the river's oozy bed is a pale desert of gigantic water lilies. They sigh one unto the other in that solitude, and stretch towards the heaven their long and ghastly necks, and nod to and fro their everlasting heads. And there is an indistinct murmur which cometh out from among them, like the rushing of subterranean water, and they sigh one unto the other. But there is a boundary to their realm, the boundary of the dark, horrible, lofty forest. There, like the waves about the Hebrides, the low underwood is agitated continually, but there is no wind throughout the heaven. And the tall primeval trees rock eternally hither and thither with a crashing and mighty sound. And from their high summits, one by one, drop everlasting dews. And at the roots, strange poisonous flowers lie writhing in perturbed slumber. And overhead, with a rustling and loud noise, the gray clouds rush westwardly forever until they roll, a cataract, over the fiery wall of the horizon. But there is no wind throughout the heaven. And by the shores of the river Zaire, there is neither quiet nor silence. It was night and the rain fell. And falling, it was rain, but having fallen, it was blood. I stood in the morass among the tall lilies, and the rain fell upon my head, and the lilies sighed one unto the other in the solemnity of their desolation. And all at once, the moon arose through the dim and ghastly mist, and was crimson in color. And mine eyes fell upon a huge gray rock which stood by the shore of the river, and was lighted by the light of the moon. And the rock was gray and ghastly and tall, and the rock was gray. Upon its front were characters engraven in the stone. And I walked through the morass of the water lilies until I came close unto the shore, that I might read the characters upon the stone. But I could not decipher them. And I was going back into the morass when the moon shone with a fuller red. And I turned and looked again upon the rock and upon the characters. And the characters were Desolation.
Of night, I've got to go where you are. It's wrong or right, I've got to go where you are. I'll roam through the dismal swamplands searching for you, 'cause if you are there, let me be there too. Through the smoke and flame, I gotta go where you are. looking for. No place could be too far where you are. Ain't no chains can bind you if you live. I'll find you. Love is calling me. I've got to go where you are.
Louis. What's that? Somebody called my name? Is that you, honey?
I believe that I hear love calling me. I've got to go where you are.
You don't say.
Who was it?
He didn't say.
No reply. Nightshade's fallen. Hear him sigh. Chloe.
Where are you, you old bat?
Empty spaces and meaty sighs. Empty arms outstretched. He's a crying. Through the black of night, I got to go where you are.
Whether it's here or whether it's there, I want to be there wherever you are.
If it's wrong, all right, I got to go where you
Hello,
are.
Hello, Chloe. What do you know?
I just got back from a vaudeville showing.
I roam through the dismal swampland, searching for you. Cause if you are lost there, let me be that.
3, 4, 1.
And through that smoke and flame, I've got to go where you are.
Thunder, lightning, shower, snow. When I hear the call, I gotta go.
For no place can be too far where you are. Ain't no chains can bind you. And if you live, I'll find you. Love is calling me. I got to go where you are. And if you do, I'm gonna find you, my pretty baby. Love is calling me.
Hello? You don't say. You don't say.
Who was it?
Same guy.
Hello? This is the Man in Black, here again to introduce Columbia's program, Suspense. Our star tonight is one of the most compelling actresses in America today, Miss Agnes Moorehead. Miss Moorehead returns to our stage to appear in a new study in terror by Lucille Fletcher called Sorry, Wrong Number. This story of a woman who accidentally overheard a conversation with death and who strove frantically to prevent murder from claiming an innocent victim is tonight's tale of suspense. If you have been with us on these Tuesday nights, you will know that suspense is compounded of mystery and suspicion and dangerous adventure. In this series are tales calculated to intrigue you, to stir your nerves, to offer you a precarious situation, and then withhold the solution until the last possible moment. And so it is with Sorry, Wrong Number and the performance of Agnes Moorehead. We again hope to keep you in suspense.
Why must you always keep me in suspense? Or can't you see what it does to me? Just a moment, I think you are mine. That's the moment I get the well-known sign. Out of line, you always keep me on the fence. You build me up and then you let me down again. Sometimes I say I'll go away, but what's the sense? I'd just come back so you can keep me in suspense. Keep me on the fence. You build me up and then you let me down again. Sometimes I say I'll go away, but what's the sense? I'd just come back so you can keep me in suspense.
Is what Orson Welles called the greatest radio play ever written. It aired May 25th, 1943, on the program Suspense, with Agnes Moorehead starring in what was essentially a one-woman show. She plays Mrs. Stevenson, a bedridden invalid who, through crossed phone lines, hears a murder being plotted. Only she can't get anyone to believe her. Those 22 minutes of sublime tension became one of the most famous radio shows in history, second only to Orson Welles' own War of the Worlds. In 1947, producer Hal Wallace bought the rights to the radio play, which were still available because A, nobody imagined it could be improved upon. The show was rebroadcast annually for many years. And B, nobody could imagine how those few minutes of perfection could be expanded into a feature-length film.
Operator, operator, operator.
Your call, please.
Operator, I've been ringing Murray Hill 35097 for the last half hour, and the line is always busy. Will you ring it for me, please?
Murray Hill 35097. One moment, please.
My husband's office. He should have been home hours ago. I can't think what's keeping him or why that ridiculous wire should be busy. They always close that office at 6 o'clock.
Ringing Murray Hill 35097.
Thank you.
Hello. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Stevenson, please.
Hello.
I want to speak to Mr. Henry Stevenson.
Oh, George, speaking.
Hello, who is this? What number am I calling?
I got your message, George. Everything okay for tonight? Everything's okay. Our client says...
Excuse me, what's going on here? I'm using this wire.
It's still 11:15, George. 11:15 is right. You got it all straight now, I hope. Yeah, I think so. At 11 o'clock, the private patrolman goes around to the bar on 2nd Avenue for a beer. Then I get in through the kitchen window with the back. Then I wait until the train goes over the bridge in case her window is open and she should scream.
Oh, hello. Who is this?
I forgot to ask you. Still don't want to use the gun?
Uh-uh. But make it quick. Our client says he doesn't wish to make us suffer long.
Okay, George, don't worry. There won't be any slip-up. You know me.
And don't forget to take the rings and bracelet and the jewelry in the bureau drawer. Our client wishes to make it look like simple robbery. Simple robbery. That's very important.
Okay, okay. Now let me just check the address again.
It's...
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Give me long distance, long distance. Give me heaven.
Operator.
Operator.
Information.
Information.
Give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus on the line.
Oh, operator.
Operator.
Information.
Information.
I'd like to speak to a friend of mine.
A friend of mine.
Oh, prayer. Faith is the exchange. Heaven is the street. And Jesus is his name. Operator.
Operator.
Information.
Information.
Please give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus on the line.
registry.
Whom do you wish to speak to, please?
I want the nurse's registry. I want to hire a trained nurse immediately for the night.
Pardon me just a second. Yes, and what were you saying?
I said I want to hire a trained nurse. I need her immediately.
We quite understand that, madam. But in the first place, this is a city hospital.
All I know is that I'm a sick woman. And I'm all alone in this horrible, empty house. I overheard a conversation, a telephone conversation a while ago about a murder to be committed at 11:15. I don't know what's happened to my husband. If something isn't done, I'm afraid. Someone had lifted the receiver off the hook of the extension downstairs.
I didn't hear it, madam.
Well, I did. There's someone in this house. There's someone in the kitchen downstairs, and they're listening to me now.
I'ma try to call my girl, but every time I fail, well, when I put the money in, each time you begin, rather way to put it out, please tell him what's about, huh? Yeah? Uh-huh. No. No! No, no, no. Yeah, I had it in before. You don't have to get the saw. Well, just do the best you can when I put it in again. And so I put the nickel in to call my Catherine. The telephone no ring, no ring, no ring, no ring. And the operator talk, she put the nickel back. I put it in once more, out like before. I gotta make the call, and there is a middle hall. And they're in confidence, well, I got to put 10 cents. And the telephone no ring, no ring, no ring, no ring. And in and out and in, to call my Catherine. I don't lose my control, and there is another hall. Well, it's 25 cents, so what's the difference? But the telephone no ring, no ring, no ring, no ring. Well, I show her I'm a man, so I'm gonna try again. Yes, hello, hello. Hello, operator! Why don't you call me agitator? Well, I'm a good citizen, and I love my Catherine. You bunch of the scurril, which number is I call? It's a Macedonia up two, yes, a fight two, a two, four of a cheddar. That's what I speak with my interest. That's not your business. Here's the nickel, don't you shout. Let's not put it in and out. And so I put the nickel in to call my Catherine. And the telephone no ring, no ring, no ring, no ring. The operator talk, she put the nickel back. I put it in once more and out like before. So I gotta make the call, so there isn't a middle hall. And now in confidence, I gotta put a 10 cents. And the telephone no ring, no ring, no ring, no ring. And in and out and in to call my Catherine. I don't lose my control, and there is another hall. If it's a 25 cents, so what's the difference? But the telephone no ring, no ring, no ring, no ring. I gotta show her I'm a man, so I'm gonna try again. Operator, hello, operator, where's my Macedonia 2? Fight 2, I took 2 out of Macedonia, where is it, you don't speak English, that's the trouble, all right, goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
Music of the Stars on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be here till midnight on most of these Civic radio stations. Stick around for news, good or bad. See what's shaking in the real world. Happy Halloween in advance.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.